welcome to another offering of Heavenly Blessings with Linda Dillon, channel for the Council of Love and author of The New You, Emerging into the Brilliance of Humanity's Heart Consciousness, and myself, Suzanne Maresca. Today, we'll be joined by our loving guide, Sanat Kumara, to discuss the universal law of elimination. The Council of Love tells us that this is a seldom-used law because there's often something worth preserving at the core of any given issue. Sometimes, though, our miscreations need to simply disappear. Once we learn to invoke this law successfully for ourselves, we can then use it to help others eliminate patterns that don't serve the highest good. Feel free to join us with your questions and comments by calling 323-784-9697 and press 1 so I know you'd like to come on the air with us. We'll continue taking callers by area code, so when we're ready to start doing that, I'll say your area code and bring you on the air. The law of elimination is advanced healing and useful when facing chronic issues that we just can't seem to get beyond. In Linda's book, the Council tells us that we'll be using this one for the healing and rebirthing of our planet. And I'm thrilled that they feel we're ready for the responsibility. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning, Susie, and good morning, everybody. Yeah, today feels like a big day. We really are moving, as you said earlier, into uncharted territory.
Yeah.
And to many, this law of elimination is something really foreign. And again, it's something that a lot of people may not be fully comfortable with, and that just probably means that you're not going to be one of the individuals using it, because it is, particularly at this point in our evolution, a rarely used law. But we're always there under the guidance and tutelage of Sanat Kumara, so nothing to worry about.
Nothing to worry about, exactly. They'll never let us do something that's outside of the mother's plan, so we can take these and call it sacred play and just step into our divine shoes.
I love it. Yeah.
Absolutely. There's also questions about this, too, because, you know, it's kind of a new idea to just blink something out of existence, as opposed to the law of transmutation that we're eliminating all the yucky stuff and getting down to the core at the center, the sacred pearl of anything. And this is just making it go away completely. So it'll be interesting to find out what kinds of things. Go ahead.
Yeah, and I think in terms of our science and our understanding of how things work, that this is really contrary, because we don't think in terms of something, a situation or an energy, regardless of its form, as simply disappearing. We tend to be schooled, again, especially those who are in science, that energy can morph into something or become something new, be transmuted, be transformed, but we don't think of it as disappearing.
Right.
And so that's a new concept for us to get our head around.
Yeah.
Like, where does that energy go?
Where does that energy go? Exactly.
Gone. Well, it's eliminated.
Yeah.
Just as, you know, the mother, father, one creates from nothingness, from an idea, or out of sheer, what we call sheer energy, what the Council calls sheer energy.
Right.
Things can disappear or be completely eliminated as if they have never existed. I've noticed in the last year, maybe, I've had some rare conversations with clients who have been facing incredibly hard times or incredibly big issues, who have suggested that they would like to be discreated.
Ooh.
And that's not something in the, you know, God knows, 20 years, that I've been doing the individual work, that I ever used to hear. So obviously that concept of discreation, of just not being in existence any longer is creeping into the consciousness of the collective. Now, I'm not suggesting anybody, not on Earth, not as human or as starseed or as hybrid or on any other planet, simply be discreated. I think that would be really sad. And I don't believe that Sanat Kumara would actually allow it. But it's interesting that the concept and the idea is beginning to creep into people's consciousness.
Yeah, I can't imagine that a being would be able to be discreated, because even when we've, you know, seen the channeled messages that talk about the dark ones who just really do not want to step into the light and refuse and want to continue on doing their dark thing, I would think that they just go back to the one. I mean, I don't think that that kind of energy ever gets destroyed, but so I don't think that when we're talking about the law of elimination, it regards beings. I think it regards concepts. And
you're absolutely right. And that's what they're saying, is that the things, the kinds of things that become eliminated or discreated are things that we've actually all been working on, you know, transmuting or discreating in the old third, such as, you know, lack, limitation, hatred, greed, control. These are the toxins of human existence that have need to, you know, go away. Yeah. But not the people, not the beings. I think you're absolutely correct. I really need to emphasize that. Because you know what, just as recently as Saturday, and it's been posted, I believe, on the Golden Age of Gaia and certainly on the Council of Love website, you know, Mary, the Universal Mother, came in and she was talking about how much she loved us.
Yes.
And it was in the context of, you know, all the work that we've been given and all the new information, the expansion of our understanding about what partnership in every sense of the word looks like. But while I was sitting here doing the channeling and just completely overwhelmed, like boo-hooing, like you couldn't believe, because the magnitude of what she was showing me, because when I channel, I have the experience of not only whom I'm channeling for, but the energy that's coming through me. So get their stuff, my stuff, and whomever it's being directed to, stuff, the experience. And the sense that she was saying that she just doesn't love us right now or in this form or in because of what we're up to in our service right now, but that she loves all of us in terms of everything we've ever been, everything we're ever going to be, the good, the bad, the ugly, the beautiful, the magnificent,
mm-hmm.
and that it was that totality and the level of that acceptance and the love was just overwhelming. So how could we possibly, as beings, ever think that a suggestion that we be discreated would be acceptable?
Never.
It doesn't compute.
No, it doesn't. But I have to say, just before the show came up, of course, I, you know, do my little mini meditation and calling in my guides and everything, and I just felt so, I mean, you use the word overwhelmed, and it's, I don't know if overwhelmed would be the thing. I want to say saturated, completely filled. Filled. Yeah, that's it. Filled is the word. Just with the love, the unconditional love, and just feeling one with our invisible help and our higher dimensional, you know, just the council of love. I just feel them around me. It's wonderful. It's just wonderful. And it brings tears. It does bring tears.
It does bring tears, and that sense of unity, of just complete connection, is growing.
Yeah.
I mean, my gosh, to have, you know, Raj Sanat Kumara with us all these weeks and connecting with us in this not just an as the distant, you know, ascended master, but as our friend who's sitting down and discussing these. In some ways, when I'm doing them, or when we're finished, it feels like, you know, we've had one of those fireside chats.
Yes, exactly. I love it. I really love it, and I also feel that that's completely on purpose to help us and to help other people, our listeners, to really feel more comfortable with the dialogue and the relationship, as in it's just something that's easy and natural, and it's not a more than and less than or teacher student at this point. It's just, let's get together and do this, all of us.
Yeah, and that they're taking us by the hand so that we won't misstep.
Right.
You know, and they make jokes about it, you know. Start off small, because we don't want you eliminating the White House and everybody in it. So it's like, or the Pentagon, for that matter.
Oh, gosh.
But, yeah. You know, maybe we could eliminate some of those problems that they're having with the computer glitches for Obamacare.
Oh, my gosh.
We won't even go there, right?
Yeah, don't get me started. Anyway.
I can hear the echoes across the country saying, yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, really. All right,
yeah.
So coming back into our focus here, shall we leap into a meditation?
I think that's a great idea.
Super fabulous. Okay.
So let's go into our hearts, deeper and deeper. And let's begin by taking a couple of nice deep breaths of gold. And let's picture and feel and visualize and taste and smell the entire band of gold from that beautiful, rich, hot, clear platinum. To the shiny 24 karat gold, to the gold of sunshine on a fall day, that golden time of day as the sun caresses everything, to the rich molten Florentine gold of Gabrielle. Open your crown and open your heart and open the bottoms of your feet to chakras on your arches and feel yourself like a sponge, absorbing all the gold from above, from the depths of Gaia, and from the world around you, from the golden light in people's eyes when they smile, from the golden halos that we're sometimes so blessed and lucky to see around people's heads, from the golden nature in rocks and flowers and fireflies. Just bring in that gold of autumn. And breathe deeply and relax, feeling your heart expand. And feel the presence standing directly in front of you of our beloved Ascended Master, of Sanat Kumara, of our Raj. And see his smile, his beautiful eyes of ice blue, looking at you with confidence and trust and encouragement as today, together, we begin to work with the law of elimination. Because even if you never feel that you are going to work with this law, it's still important for you to understand it. Deeper into your heart. And see that tiny pinprick of white light in the center of your heart. The portal to the inner sanctum of your heart. And feel your wings unfurl. Your mighty angel wings that you have had forever. And feel yourself once more flying through that portal right now into the interior chambers of your heart, of your sacred space, and breathe gold and go deeper. And as you feel yourself within your chamber, look again today at your walls, about what is written about and for you to guide you, about your sacred mission and purpose, your intent. See the sacred symbols that you have etched on those walls, cuneiform or ancient Sumerian. And breathe in. What is the scent? What is the scent that comes to you in your sacred temple? Is it frankincense, or myrrh, cinnamon, or jasmine? Breathe in. And note what the air feels like. Is it cool? Is it soft on your skin? This is your place. Now find your place to sit down, either your chair or your sofa or your cushion, and relax and ease into it. And feel yourself going deeper into your heart of knowing, because this is where everything, all information pertaining to you, and therefore all information connected to you throughout the universe, is stored. So take a minute as we think and consider this idea, this feeling of the law of elimination. The law of elimination requires deep frankness within your heart and honesty and the knowing that you cannot misstep. So we start with ourselves. Is there anything in your current life that you feel simply poisons and threatens and bars you from the fullness of your being? Now, we aren't talking about people. We're talking about qualities, bigotry, hatred, limitation, control. Are there situations that you have banged your head against year after year after year? That you don't understand what purpose they play, that it has not been revealed to you if there is a greater understanding to be had, and that you simply wish from the bottom of your heart that it could be eliminated. And we're making this personal to start out. Now, what we want you to do is to see as if Sanat Kumara is standing directly in front of you. And he is carrying his scales of justice. Because we all know that the understanding of universal law is about balance. Take this thing that you would like to see gone from your life. Gone. Not transmuted. Not transformed. But simply eliminated. And put it on one side of the scale. Then on the other side of the scale, put what would happen, the energy of this elimination. And are they in balance? And if they are not, then it means your signal not to proceed, that there is greater purpose or greater understanding in this experience. But if they are in balance, take this issue or this energy and bring it into your heart as you're sitting there in your chair or on your cushion. And you ask Sanat Kumara. And yes, he will hear. It may be a knowing. It may be a slight jerk in your body. You may hear it, but you will know. So ask him. Is it for my highest good? And, very important, the highest good of all concerned, that this energy be eliminated back to nothingness, to a place of non-existence. And listen for your answer. Remembering that this is a rarely used law. If your answer is no, it is not for your highest good to eliminate this, it is not for the highest good of all concerned to have this eliminated, then ask from the core of your heart for help in transmuting it, in changing it, in morphing it into forms that are blessings and loving and acceptable to you and your growth. But if the answer is yes, then we will proceed further. Feel that energy of what you wish to eliminate. Not people, not things, but discordant energy. Energy that is not of love. And feel it dropping down from your heart to that point where it's intersecting with your solar plexus. And breathe. And the motion for this energy in this particular undertaking is a spiral motion, and it is counterclockwise, so you're going backwards around the clock. So you're unwinding the energy rather than bringing it in. You're sending it out, spiraling it out. And wait and feel that moment of implosion, explosion, right at that point of intersection between your solar plexus and your heart. You aren't sending this energy anywhere. It's simply gone. One, two, three. And let it be. And then with gratitude in your heart, come back up to the center of your heart. Come back up to your cushion. Give thanks simply know it is done. Greetings, I am Raj.
Welcome.
Welcome, my beloved friends. Friends of every color, every ray, every fragrance, every scent. Welcome. My beloved transformers of Earth. And yes, there is a time and a place and a level of spiritual maturity that you reach when you are working with this law of elimination. And no, it is not for everybody. But there are those amongst you, the warriors and the peacemakers, the healers and the teachers, the way showers, the pillars, the gatekeepers. Well, wait a minute, have I not mentioned everyone? There are times in the occasion of your life and your journey when you will discern, because there is never an element of judgment within this, that you will discern that there is an energy, a discordant energy that serves absolutely no purpose, that is beneficial or continuing to be beneficial to the humankind, the collective, or the universe. In 100% of these times, it is a human creation of the old third, or perhaps even more ancient than that, that you are truly examining and asking that it simply be created. Dear heart, the truth about this law of elimination is also realizing the power of the One to bring forth and to bring away. It is the balance, the closest understanding or law of interaction that you have with this is the law of dispensation that we have spoken of last week, where there is, in fact, the removal of the burden that you have carried, that you have accepted, imaginary or otherwise. It matters not. In fact, imagination is quite clearly a point of creation. Another way in which you judge or discern or come to the conclusion about what is beneficial in terms of elimination is the law of above and below, and within and without. When you are thinking or considering about eliminating something, you look in the environment, your internal environment, your spiritual landscape. And you also look at the without, at the broader universe. And you see and you assess, of course with me, whether it is in existence and in reality, in the truth of the higher realms. Not the old third, because that is not a place that is fully cleansed, but the other dimensions, the other realms. So, for example, if you are looking at the elimination of hatred or bigotry, and you feel that within the sphere within which you live, you witness it on a daily basis, then you look to the without, you look to the above, and you say, well, do I see it in the outer sphere where love reigns? And might I suggest, no, you don't. And that is an indicator, a measurable indicator to you, that it does not belong. Now, that does not mean that you simply zap it with the law of elimination. There are further assessments to take place. So, if, for example, if you are looking at the issue of bigotry, and prejudice is very still, very heavy upon the planet, within the human realm, nowhere else. So you look at it and you think, well, is there a lesson that is being learned? Is the collective somehow learning from this? Is it for the highest good that this simply be eliminated, or does it have such value that the kernel needs to be preserved? Because, for example, with bigotry, it usually comes down to an absence of self-worth and self-love. Well, I hate you because I hate myself. So then you are faced with the question and the assessment, do I eliminate this or do I transmute it? And the answer, my friends, is both. It is never just an either or. So there may be elements that you are completely eliminating and still keeping the kernel for the lessons to be learned. We will not allow you to ever eliminate something that is beneficial for you personally or for the collective. So I am still holding your hand. And this is a promise, because we will not have a repeat of Atlantis. Those lessons were too severe. And we have not even spoken of this law until such time as now, because you were not ready. But now you are, and I am sure you have a million questions. So, dear heart, Suzanne, where do you wish to begin?
Thank you, Raj. Maybe not a million questions, but I have a few. As always, I appreciate your participation and guidance with these universal laws, and always. Okay, so one of the thoughts that's come up for me in contemplating the law of elimination is around the levels of creation. We all come from Source, and Source has created beings who have free will and can create on their own. What is the origin of negative races of beings who practice service to self and seem to be free of compassion? And would you explain, please, also the chain of responsibility for miscreations?
Yes, and this is where you come to a higher recognition of your responsibility, and I mean collectively and individually, of your spiritual responsibility, Sometimes this is a very unpopular word, but the responsibility that each of you hold and that is held by the collective. The gift of your realm, of your planet, of where you have been, and even where you are going, is the continuity of free will. So the ability to choose this or that. All energy that has ever been created, if you wish to think of the core atoms, are love. But they morph, they grow, they take form. And while they are guided by Source, by Mother, they are not continually controlled. Now, there are some things that you are not even aware of as human beings that are controlled and, in fact, on our side are eliminated if they are going too far afield. But as a rule of thumb, and in chain, in terms of your chain of responsibility that you mention, generally they are not interfered with. So you have a growth. Growth, growth, growth. Say now you are a human being. Because this is an example you can all understand. And you, out of your free will, and out of, can we suggest to you, a very, very distorted field. And it takes a number, a huge number of variables and distortions, what we would call distortions and discordant energy, for one to reach the place where you do not choose love, because it is such a rarity, it is an endangered species. But say an individual reaches a place where they do not choose love, they do not choose to know love, which is instinctual, and they do not choose to practice any of the divine qualities, then what they are doing is they are choosing a very, very difficult and dark, in the sense that you use it, dark path back. So they are choosing to learn, even though they may think they are on top of the world and free. They are not. It is a very gross illusion. And they are choosing a very difficult path back to discovering the truth of who they really are. Now, is this and has this in certain situations been allowed? Yes. And it also has been allowed because you, as human collective, have not had the wherewithal or the capacity to truly work with the law of elimination. Now, is there a tipping point? at which this is not allowed to continue any further? And the answer is yes. But for us, the solution or the approach, rather than elimination, has been containment within the box of white light or love, as you would think of it. And that is a rare tool. You as human beings have adopted this and made it almost pop culture. Oh, we'll put them in containment. But in fact, we want you to understand the severity of such an action, even on our part, is very extreme and quite rare. And so that is the point at which we put them in rehab, as it were, rather than elimination, where elimination tends to be used is when there is a discordant quality that is serving absolutely no purpose. It is not triggering compassion. It is not triggering prudence. Or it is not triggering it sufficiently for the balance and for the unfoldment of the plan. Now, you aren't at the point where you can say, I will eliminate 90% of this and leave the 10% so that it can still be a catalyst and be transmuted and assist the human collective. But we do. And we do it all the time. Does that answer or make sense to you?
Yes. Yes, it does. I just have
but
one.
But the one thing I want to say, mm-hmm. with this discussion, and it perhaps is more one of the more serious discussions that we have ever had, it also is suggesting, well, it is not even suggesting, it is informing you of the realm of human responsibility.
Yes.
That is also entrusted to you. So this is an aspect of the partnership that the mother and Michael have been speaking of. Think of it in this way, too, in terms of your sacred unions and your sacred partnerships, albeit with a lover, a spouse, a child, a parent. You can come together and you can identify elements. Now, is this serving us in any way, shape, or form? What is it teaching us? And usually there is that beautiful pearl at the core. But there will be things, as a couple, you say, no, this doesn't serve us at all. Let us together eliminate it.
Okay, you've pretty much spoken to this, and I just need a tiny bit more clarity. When I'm out and about and being bombarded with sounds and smells and energies that are feeling discordant, I've been treating them all as part of the mother's creation and therefore sacred, and seeing myself and them as all part of the one. So I would appreciate some clarity on that as to what kinds of things to see as needing elimination as opposed to transmutation. I know you've spoken to that, but do you get the extra little thing I'm looking
for? Oh, yes,
for here?
I do, and this is a wonderful question because you are absolutely correct. And it takes an old, anchored, compassionate, wise soul to be able to venture into your world and to truly see. This is all part of the wonderful mixture, the melange, that the Mother has created. And bless it all. So you are not walking around, say, downtown Chicago, in the hustle and bustle, and working with the law of elimination. Now, you may be working and turning yourself into actively transmuting much of that energy through your field. You have these toys, or that you play with, children play with, called transformers. But you are all transformers. And so when you are in that melee, you are working with your transmutation energy, and sometimes even instantaneous transmission. And it is through your beautiful field. The law of elimination is not done or worked with, can I say, on the go. It is done in very deep meditation, contemplation, consideration, where you can truly hear me, where my presence is with you. Now, the problem is not on my side. I can be with you in the melee of the busiest city on the planet. We can go to Hong Kong or Shanghai. That is not the issue. We can go to Bombay, but you will not be quiet enough to truly assess and hear me.
Right.
So you use the law of elimination in the quiet, where you are truly considering, now am I just irritated by this wonderful blessing of what the Mother has presented, or is it truly something that does not serve anybody,
right,
above or below?
Okay, good. Thank you for that clarification. That was very helpful. All right. This past week I had a vision in meditation that I want to share, and it feels to be in alignment with this law. There was a net of sorts laid down at the bottom of every ocean, and I would gather up the edges and pull it up so that all the energies and pollutants would be filtered out of the waters to then hover up above the earth. Then a huge ship would come down far enough to not just transmute the garbage, but zap it out of existence. I was allowing divine energy through my physical vessel, and then channeling it to the ship for it to use in doing its work on the trash and negative energies. You've implored me to trust my vision, so I will just ask if this is the way that we'll be helping with the cleaning up of Gaia.
That is correct.
Okay.
I do not want to elaborate because your vision is accurate. Different people will have different ways of doing this. But yes, and the piece that you have also been very clear about is that you are working, sweet angel, in conjunction and cooperation with your star brothers and sisters.
Yes. Okay. All right, good. All right, so I guess that's it for me. We can go on to callers if that's all right with you.
I am ready.
Fabulous. Okay, so we are on to... Good morning, Charisse. We haven't heard from you for a while. Are you on the air?
Yes. Oh, wow. I've had a vision last night that totally blew my socks off, and I've been taking all the love in my heart in the moment now, and I sent it backwards through time, through my my self back to square one when I was conceived, and then it bounced back. And each time I did that, I got an aha of love and recognition from my inner child. And I'm at the point, I've rebirthed my inner children. They are alive and thriving in me. Then I took this love and went back in my genetics. And I'm blue blood royalty. Kaiser's my last name, and my mom's side is related to Dutch and Spanish royalty. And I saw myself going backwards all the way through, and I'm surrounded by such decadence and plush and gold. And I'm a little girl in the Spanish court, and my most whimsical whim is life and death to anyone who defied me. Well, I have awakened four of my previous lives, and it's like we're becoming a group soul together. The love of my life, Didi, she is with me in my heart all the time. I can hear her soft thoughts, and I'm the luckiest person to be alive. And it feels like I'm rebirthing my whole being in love with the loves of my previous lives, which is Didi and Mimi. She was the high priestess in Egypt, 3753 BC, when I'm a child priestess. And I'm an Algonquin girl, Michaela, and Didi is Elita. And in the 1600s, I'm a Mohawk warrior, and Didi is my bride. Most powerful vision that it's like love is transforming everything. And the burden of my heart is when I was murdered in the Inquisition, 1494, 8 years after Codex, after Malleus Maleficarum. And it feels like my heart has surrounded all the children in that. I was in South France in the Sierra Nevada Mountains, and I was a healer.
Sharice, have you got a question?
The aftermath of the Inquisition, which utterly gutted the life force of the matriarchy in all women, I am loving to rebirth. So do we keep the core of whatever and eliminate and bring back all the inner children back to love, so that the present children today that are generations following will have the domino effect of all the inner children everywhere awakening into the utter wonder and magic and glory of the magnificence of who we are in the matriarchy of, and it's particularly in the human breast.
Sharice,
I believe
Sharice.
There's enough. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, I just want to interrupt you here for a second. Have you got a question?
Well, there is a side question. Do we zap the depleted uranium so that the Iraq babies aren't bothered anymore?
Okay, thank you.
You proceed in love, and you proceed in love for all that you are in every life and every incarnation. This is more completion. And this is more what we will speak of next week, actually, in terms of completion and continuity. And so what you are doing is you are calling to the forefront the totality of your being so that it may all be loved, that it may all be healed. So it is not a matter so much of invoking the law of elimination, because even in what we would call the terrorism of some of these regimes that you have referred to, there have been the awakenings, such as in Atlantis, of never again. So it has served a purpose, and it has served a a very important purpose. So continue, dear heart, with the integration, and yes, include the children of all the world. You are not eliminating uranium from any source. That is up to Gaia.
Beautiful.
So is my love.
We are on to, I don't know what to call you here. It's 116. Hello, are you with us? Hello, hello? Hello? 11604, hello? Okay. Hello?
Hello. Hello,
hi,
that must be here. Hi, it's Kathleen.
Oh, hi. Okay, hi.
Hi. Hi, Sanat. Hi, Linda. I have a question about, could you speak to us of the importance of the interdimensional travel and imagination that Linda writes about in her book, The New You?
It is not only important, it is who you are. And yes, today seems to be a time when we are discussing spiritual maturity and evolution. When the mother, with help, created the realm for human experience, created the realm to explore Gaia and what it means to be human, you were given the construct of 12 dimensions. It was never intended that you would be restricted to simply one dimension. Now, as we have said, there has been much miscreation, and the collective got stuck in what we would refer to the old third. But you are not stuck there any longer, dear hearts. Gaia has ascended and she is firmly anchored. Her heart is anchored in the fifth, but her upper chakras, if you want to think of it that way, are anchored in the higher realms, the sixth, the seventh, brushing on the third. But you, as transcendent human beings, are intended and free to travel to every dimension, to access and to work with, to play with the qualities and the experience of each dimension. Now, it is not so much a matter of traveling and going to as allowing, yes, you call it inspiration and imagination. We call it opening to reality. And allow those experiences to come within. So rather than feeling that you have to hopscotch to first, to fourth, to seventh, to ninth, extend your arms out and bring them within your sphere so that you are accessing and utilizing, actively utilizing in creation and co-creation, including elimination, that which is available to you.
Thanks.
Now, you have an expression, and we like it. It is fake it till you make it. That is where you say, well, I will imagine that I am in the ninth. I will imagine I am in the eighth, and I will simply imagine what that feels like. Do that, but then also realize the day or the hour where that imagination transfers and you realize that you are actually there and that that energy is within and around you and within your field, and that you have learned on every level, actively, intelligently, subconsciously, consciously, that you are using that energy in your life.
Beautiful. Thank you.
You are welcome, dear angel. I will see you in the 11th.
Okay. Thank you. Farewell.
Farewell.
Beautiful. Okay, we are on to what looks like it's not an area code. 111. Are you with us? Hello? Hello, hello? Hello? 111? Skype caller? No? All right. On to the next. Okay, area code 520. Hello? Are you with us?
Hello. Good morning, Suzanne. Good morning, Raj. Good morning, Linda. Raj, this is a personal question, but it may resonate with other light workers. Comparing how I feel with nature, I feel like a healthy horse, confined and not allowed to excel and run free. Did I create prior to my birth a life pattern that I would be born into filled with limitations placed on me that were not placed upon others? I feel as if there have been many beings trying to contain me within a system, using me to enrich themselves at my expense, blocking my advancement, controlling my progress, limiting me, breaking pacts, backstabbing, changing the rules of the game, unfairly competing, isolating and interfering, penalizing me for their limitations, jealousy, and making me do things over and over that I've already successfully achieved. So how do I eliminate this pattern of treatment by others towards me? Or is this all 3D ego thinking by myself that is not relevant anymore, even though those feelings still kind of linger inside me? So that's my question.
Wow. Dear heart, you cannot deny your feelings ever. So it does not matter whether you are saying to me that these feelings come from the old 3D, or they come from the 5th or the 8th or the 9th. The point is, you are feeling them. And yes, it is worthy and desirable that you identify or you source these feelings and where they are coming from. But let us also suggest to you that you have created this rather extreme situation so that you can be like the phoenix, rising from the ashes and flying free. What you are doing is you are saying, and we are not talking about the old grid of false blame, fault, blame, shame, guilt. You are not engaging in that. What you are eliminating is the situation that you have created that has surrounded you, and might we say corralled you, into this position. So what you are doing, part of the law of elimination, as well as transmutation, but particularly elimination, is the power of no. And what you are saying is no. So you are never eliminating people or circumstance. You are not influencing those who are choosing to behave in a certain way. But what you are saying is, for my life, for my circumstances, for my chosen path, which I choose to radically alter, I call upon you, Raj, and I call upon and invoke the law of elimination to eliminate that which is not for my highest good or the highest good of everybody concerned. These are repetitive, meaningless lessons. Let them go.
That's what it feels like to me.
Excuse me?
I said that's what it feels like to me. Repetitive.
And you are realizing it is about you and your choices, not about what you feel are the outer enemies or the discordant energies. So what you are eliminating is a situation which isn't serving you.
Okay. Thank you so much for your call.
Thank you.
Farewell.
Okay. We are on to David. You are on the air.
Hello, Susie. Hello, Linda. Hello, Raj. So, first I want to make a statement. I have what is called multiple sclerosis, and I want to make public that I made some research, and it is, I think, actually osteoporosis in the spine, which is caused by a malfunctioning stomach, and I have a question for that. So, I have a sensation, and I also tested it, that my spine breaks at some point, and then the nerves get damaged, and I can't move either my leg or an arm or something like that. And so if there would be one thing that I would like to eliminate of my present life here, it would be this condition. So, dear Raj, if you have a suggestion for that, I would be really, really grateful.
Welcome. Welcome, sweet angel of light. Now, this is a twofold question. Now, you remember when we have also spoken of the law of instantaneous transmission, and that one can go, you, dear David,